We're talking history with Betsy J. Green, and that's her website, BetsyJGreen.com. Not to be confused with Betsy Green, who was a collaborator in World War II. No, I don't know who she was, but she's somebody else. She's somebody else. So we were talking about the 1918 Spanish flu, its impact in Santa Barbara. We covered August, September, October, November, and now we're up to December 1918. Tracking the impact of the Spanish flu on Santa Barbara.
Okay, in December 1918, and I'm not sure why, they suddenly decided that things should open up again. So, you know, was it a good decision or not? I mean, we're going through the same thing today. What's good for business? What's good for the general health of people? How do you juggle that? But everything was sort of wide open in December. The newspaper wrote, "The sidewalks were crowded with a merry throng. Practically every individual hurried thither and yon, loaded with Christmas cheer of some sort. Children as well as grown-ups mingled with the crowd. Returned soldiers and sailors were everywhere." Now, I talk about returned soldiers and sailors because the war had ended on November 11, 1918, and that's what Veterans Day is all about. But in addition to everything else going on, soldiers were then coming back to Santa Barbara.
Right.
Yeah, and that was December, and are you going to ask me about January now?
Well, I wanted to just, you mentioned holiday shopping and everything. So that was a nice quote from the newspaper. Do you have any tweets you could quote?
The birds were singing. That's what I hear.
So I got to tell you, this is pretty quick. We go in from August, and suddenly December, they're opening things up. It felt like Sweden. So what happened January 1919?
Well, in January, it was back. The paper wrote, "Holiday crowds get blamed for increase in influenza cases." There were a bunch of more articles. And then the paper noted that more Americans had died from influenza than American soldiers had been killed in the war. So they closed the schools, the churches, the theaters, the library, billiard and pool halls, that probably hurt, and also the bowling alley. So everything public was closed. In addition to that, the Santa Barbara Red Cross was very active, and they were asking for volunteers to take care of little children whose parents had the flu. And who were either in the hospital or unable to care for the little kids. It also hit the orphanage. The orphanage was on St. Vincent's on De La Vina Street, and it is actually still there, the building. It's two stories now. It used to be three stories before the earthquake. But then by the end of January, it seemed like it had peaked, and they were expecting that schools might be opening soon.
Now,
what they were doing, though, while the schools were closed, was they were mailing the lessons to each student. And the student was to fill out the lessons or do the homework and then mail them back. There was one little problem, though. Some of the students were mailing back the letters without postage, so the school had to pay the postage. And the school let children know, or parents, that were keeping a list of who did not pay the postage, and they could have said, you know, "We know where you live," but they didn't say that.
So they kept a list of who was naughty and who was nice. So that was their answer to Zoom school learning. They just mailed it to you.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. We did not have radio back then in people's homes. In terms of music, though, one of the good things about the flu, or one of the nice things that happened, was the local record store would deliver phonograph records on approval to your house, and then pick them up again the next morning. So you had something different to listen to overnight.
Yeah, they were called Netflix.
No, but I thought that was a great public relations move to do something nice for people. And obviously those were old 78 phonograph records.
I have a collection of 78 phonographs, and I have a turntable that plays 78 speed. I need to get it rebuilt.
That was before my time.
Saint, yeah. Well, thank you. They were my grandmother's. Saint Vincent's on De La Vina. That was the name of a care home, orphanage. A hospital?
Orphanage. The building is still there. It's just south of Korea.
I wonder if St. Vincent's Hospital was open back then.
I don't know.
Mitchell Terrain, or if there was any connection between the orphanage and the hospital. But that's interesting what they did with the children. I mean, you know, wow. Okay, so January was pretty bad, and February, this is January 1919. Very sobering that you said that more died from the flu than the war. And then February 19. Oh, and to go back, because you had said in an email to me that, of course, there were no ventilators, no antibiotics, That was developed in maybe in the 1930s, or that's impactful. So that was bad. And also, who were, in terms of age groups, who were most of the flu victims?
It was mostly people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, which is kind of a surprise. Usually, you know, like COVID, it's older people who are the hardest hit. But apparently, back in the 1880s, there was a similar flu that had gone around. So if you had survived that, you would be older, you know, 60s or something at this point, and you would have some immunity to the Spanish flu. So it was a little unusual that it affected the younger people, and it was even worse because then that was the age of the young men who were serving in the military.
Boy.
So they were, you know, they were the real victims in a way.
Well, that's an interesting rationalization to know about the 1880s flu, and so people might have been immunized. So most flu victims were between the age of 30 and 50, probably also because back in 1918, you died when you were 55 or 60. So
that's true.
No, I'm kidding. But there probably weren't as many older people. And just maybe people weren't interacting as much as we do today. Maybe they're just sitting at home. I don't know.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, we didn't have, you know, golf carts for people, you know, who were not good at walking to drive around in, or walkers or whatever.
Exactly.
So I think you just stayed home a lot once you reached the ripe age of, you know, 60 or something.
Just turned on Netflix and hung it out. Had your Domino's pizza delivered. So, okay, January 1919, and we're right at the end, February 1919. What happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, they lifted the quarantine. It had been 5 weeks in January and February. Everything, as I said, was closed. Finally, the paper wrote, "Shake out your old dress suit from where it has been lying among the mothballs and count your accumulated change for a trip to the movies. The ban is lifted. Four short words, but fraught with much meaning and promise. And a great thanksgiving that the epidemic has passed. No longer will State Street look like the aftermath of a Quaker meeting."
Jesus, you're kidding!
So it was time to party.
Wow, and therein lies the 1920s, the resulting.
Yes, that is the one bright thing about COVID that keeps me feeling positive, is that after the Spanish flu and the war, we had the 1920s. So, hey, bring it on.
Well, how come this flu that you just described sounds like it was one and done? We just covered August, 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little bit came around later on, but it just did not have the same effect. So either you had died the first time around, or, you know, maybe it was herd immunity and people were okay with it. And we just moved on. So it was a lot shorter than this darn COVID that seems to be going on forever.
Exactly. My guest has been Betsy J. Green, living locally now, historian. Her website is BetsyJGreen.com. We're almost out of time, but you have a new book coming out?
Yes, and interesting, it kind of relates here. Because of all the deaths from the flu and the war in the 19-teens, for the next decade, there were a number of silent movies about life after death. And a couple of these movies were filmed in Montecito at some of the million-dollar mansions there. And so my next book is about silent movies that were filmed in Montecito. And that's how I discovered this sort of fascination with the afterlife.
Wow. Wow. I bet you some of those homes are still there. And so what's the title of the book?
Movies and Million Dollar Mansions.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Do you watch Perry Mason?
No, I don't.
Oh, you got it. Because Richard said that we could have a Perry Mason case called the Case of the Hysterical Historian. Maybe that should be your next book. Barbara?
Well, I'm wondering, too, if we will be seeing more movies about the afterlife after the COVID crisis.
Well, we will track it. I called you Barbara by mistake. It's Betsy J. Green. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge of the 1918 Spanish flu and its impact on Santa Barbara.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be part of your show, Mark.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.